Okay, it's March 31st, question and answer to Dallas Snyder.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I think we have a new person here. Hello, how are you? May I tell you that this class is called Prosperity and Abundance, Including Money, and that it's a metaphysical class, and you understand that? Good. Also, it's completely God-oriented. This class will always be completely God-oriented. That does not mean that it is religious. We are not teaching religion here. If you want to go learn about religion, please feel free to go to any of the brand name churches. Here, we are not going to do that. We are going to know that God is always going to be our source and our supply of everything. But we are going to be able to use that knowledge to bring into our lives what we want. That is what this is about. So this class, this teaching, has no dogmas whatsoever. It has no rituals whatsoever. You see, two things that we do use is what we call treatment, which is a form of prayer. It's an organized form of prayer. It has sometimes 5 steps and sometimes it has 7 steps to it. Once you learn the steps, you do not have to use them in any particular order. Please remember, since there is no dogma and no rituals, putting something in 5 steps does not make it sacred and does not mean that if you do it out of sequence, what you are treating for is not going to come your way. The whole idea of the 5 steps is to organize your thinking, because you're talking to intelligence and you must learn to talk to intelligence intelligently. Once you do that, you can get what you want. Many people think, oh my goodness, I've mixed up the steps, it won't work. Now please, people, don't do that to yourselves. That is not what this is about. The other thing that we use as a tool is affirmations. Then, the main thing that we are always going to be using is what?
Imagination.
Our imagination. We are going to always be using our imagination. That is the greatest gift, the greatest tool that this thing called God has given us. And when you can imagine something, you will get that. Nothing has come into this world without the imagination. And imagination is constantly put down by people because they think it's not real. Your imagination is absolutely real. You have to see, the problem is that most of us buy into the illusion that this world that we're living in is real, that this reality that we're living in is real. This world and the reality that we are living is an illusion. And it's done with your imagination. So if this can be done with your imagination, anything can be done with your imagination. As we go on talking about this, it will become clearer and clearer and clearer to you that you are the cause under your own experience, that you are doing it with your thinking. Last week I talked about the little switches. I talked about being at the switchboard of your mind. Very, very important to remember. This teaching boils down to, it is always going to be done unto you as you believe, and it's always going to be done with your thinking, with your mind. So it's what you are thinking. There's a little saying. What you think about, you bring about. It's going to be done with thinking. And it's also going to be done with your feelings. You must put feelings behind what you're doing. Okay? Does that help you? All right. Now, I'm open for questions.
I have 2 different ones, and I can either ask them together or come back to them. One is about the money and how to spend relationships. And about the money, and you know my history, but I will just to review. I've been in the business that I've been in. I opened an office for a company about a year ago. And March 1st was March of the year. We had a certain business arrangement. And I'm supposed to get a certain amount of money based on the business that comes in. And I just want to say that my employer is wonderful, fair. I trust them. And they've been really busy. It's a small business. And so the year's kind of passed. And I know that they're going to evaluate. They have to look at the whole expenses and what's come in to see where I am with what I get in the upcoming year and all that. So I trust. It's been nothing but a miracle. And I just want to give a plug that working with you was pivotal for me. But anyway. But what I find myself doing with my boss, who I really love, and she's fair, and is being passive aggressive and saying little things like, well, you know, the year's over and I have all these files and I need to just stop that and let the process be, because I believe that they will be fair. And I know she's been busy, just came back from trip and all this, but yet I say bite your tongue, and I keep finding myself having to fit in these little passive aggressive comments, and I don't like that. I don't like doing that.
I don't like that either. That's below you, beneath you. That is not using your consciousness correctly. Let me back up to the first thing you said. You have two problems, relationships and money. Every problem that you have is a relationship. If it's a money problem, a person problem, or anything, it's always going to be a relationship. And what is that relationship? It's going to be what your relationship is with God. You see, there's only ever one problem. It's a God problem. So it's always going to be a relationship with God. So you have to go back. And in your case, what you have to go back and know, what you're forgetting, is that you're whole, complete, and perfect, that you matter, that you're lovable, dependable, all those. You have to go back to that. Now, a couple weeks ago, I gave you people an affirmation, and you probably have forgotten it, but the affirmation was, the faster I tell the truth, the faster I get what I want. So you sit down and you ask that person, when is this coming? Please, I'm a little anxious here. You may use all those things, you say. But you're not going to get what you want until you tell the truth. I'm feeling anxious. Here it is into April. I was counting on that money. Is it coming? Oh, I know that you're busy. I know this, that, and the other thing. Always be up and above board with the things. And you know, and she picked it out, and she has to pat herself on the back for that. You knew what you were doing, and you knew you were being passive-aggressive. We all get into that state, by the way, of being passive-aggressive, and we think it's very cute, you see, and we think, well, now they'll understand. They don't understand, you see. I had a boss once. I worked for this lady. And if she wanted you to sweep, she wouldn't ask you to sweep. She would start sweeping and think, oh, now he'll get the hint. Well, she did this with all the employees, and you know what we did? We left her sweep. We knew what she was doing. We said, let's see how long she can sweep before she asks us to do it. You're saying? She was being passive-aggressive. We were being passive-aggressive. Instead of saying, you're the employee, I want you to sweep. She had the perfect right to do that, you see. The perfect right to do that. But she wanted to play a game. You are playing a game. Don't play games. Does that help you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the faster I tell the truth, the faster I get what I want. And you're not telling the truth, so you're not getting what you want. Questions?
One thing. Can you do a favor and explain again the treatment of the five and the seven steps?
Well, I never do the seven steps. I go to the shortcut. First of all, you always have to know that you're one with God. You have to make that connection that you're one, so that you know immediately. And you just start out with that premise. I am one with God. How do you do that? I am connected to the only source there is in the universe. That's all. That's connecting right away. Now, you have your mind in that. Now, you ask for what you want. Then you affirm what you want. then you make a negation in there, and then you reaffirm, then you give gratitude and thanks and release it and let it go.
What do you mean, negation?
A negation is, it's always a bad one too. It's putting in exactly what you don't want. I will no longer, my mind no longer dwells on this. You say.
Okay.
My ego too. One with God, ask for what you want.
Yes.
Affirm what you want.
Affirm.
And then came negate.
Negate.
And that was what
negate.
I was asking. Negate. N-E-G-A-T-E.
I know I
spelled
it.
The thing that you want to verbalize what you don't want anymore.
And you must be swift with that. I learned that word, must be swift with that step, from Raymond Charles Barker. Do you know Raymond Charles Barker?
No.
Raymond Charles Barker was one of the heavyweights in the metaphysical world. He had a church at Alice Tooley Hall in New York, and he could fill that Alice Tooley Hall every Sunday. And he was around for years. He was a contemporary of Ernest Holmes. The first church of religious science in New York City. So anyway, he always used the negation step, but he said you must be swift with that. Why must you be swift with that? Because you don't want to dwell on it. You see, you don't want your mind to go there. Many people go into the negative when they're giving a treatment. I don't want this, I don't want that, da 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 da. No, you don't do that. You say, let that out. Then you reaffirm what you want. Then it's gratitude and blessing, and then it's releasing it. And I release this into the only power that there is, the power of God. I release this into the one mind. I release this into the universe, knowing that it comes back to me multiplied abundantly. Next week I will bring the whole list in for you. I will bring it in with the steps, exactly how to do it, and examples of what I mean, okay? So that you'll know how to do that. But here again, I have a friend. Remember my friend Doug the Baptist? He wouldn't know treatment if it came up and hit him on the head. But when he wants something, he goes out and he says, God, this is what I want. And he gets what he wants. Why? Because of his faith. Because of his belief in that. You see? Because of his belief in that. When I said it's intelligence and you must talk to it intelligently, that means you ask. Here again, use the affirmation. The faster I tell the truth, the faster I get what I want. That's why we say, what do you want exactly? What do you really want? And be specific about that. The faster you can do that, the faster you're going to get what you want. You can't throw this stuff out there and think, oh, well, God's going to fill in all this stuff. Well, he's not. Remember when Casey asked me if we could treat for cushier seats? You know, you have to be specific. Do you mean a cushier seat on your bottom, or do you mean a cushier seat on the chair? You see, you have to be specific with it. And it's not voodoo, people. And there is no power in the treatment. There's no power in the steps. Give that idea up that you found a magic bullet. Your magic bullet is going to be your belief and your imagination. And when you give a treatment, if you believe it works, it will work.
I know that new chairs are calm the way.
That's it. That's what you have to know. And they're here,
and
right?
They're beautiful. Yeah. They're cushy.
And they're cushy. That's it.
I can feel them right now.
We were able to get the carpet removed, weren't we? So we can get new chairs. Do what you think is right with these things. Knowing. When you write a letter, you put it in the post box, and you absolutely have faith that it's going to be delivered. Now, in all the years that I've used the post office, nothing has ever gotten lost in the mail. because I believe in the post office. My mother did not believe in the post office. She thought things would get lost. Things always got lost. You see, this the idea that is always done unto you as you believe works on every level. It works on every level, people. The law of attraction isn't up here. It's everywhere. It's in every level of consciousness. It's on every level of consciousness. Why is that? Because there's only one mind. There's only one God. There's only one power. You see, some people, oh, I have to raise up to God. Oh, please, give me a break.
Isn't that kind of like pulling strings down here? I got to pull the strings all through the universe.
Yes.
Makes sense?
That makes sense. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Next question.
How do you get out of your own way all the time?
Me or you?
You. And you. Oh, I mean, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it. Maybe I can learn. Because I'm good some of the time, but as you know, I'm not good all
right.
the time. Yeah.
Okay. One of the ways to get out of your own way is to give up the idea that you know anything. People, you know nothing. When you think you know something, people say to me, I know. As soon as they say, I know they're using their ego. So now I know they're in the way. We don't know anything. We don't know anything. People say, I know all about God. Oh, please, run the other way if somebody tells you that. You don't know that. You have to realize. And when you hear yourself, you have to start to hear what you're saying to yourself. Most people talk all the time. They never hear what they're saying. You have to hear what you're saying. Very important to hear. That's why we have two ears instead of one. Because it's so important to hear. See, we have one mouth, but we have two ears. You have to hear what you're saying. And you have to hear what you're saying to yourself all the time. All the time. I have a young fellow that is very positive. And if you met him, you'd say, oh, he's the most positive person in the world. And if you talked to him, he would tell you, oh, yes, I know the idea of the law of attraction. And I know how to do this, this, and this. So the other day, he was called in for a commercial callback. And I said, did you get it? He said, no. He said, I never get them. He said, as soon as there's a callback, I never get it. He said, I know that right away. See, he does know the law of attraction, but he doesn't hear what he's saying. So the law of attraction, if you think you get a callback and you're not going to get the thing, he used this, which we all use, and you hear this all the time. Oh, that always happens to me. Oh, that always happens to me. It always happens to you because you say it always happens to you. You have to remember that there's nobody out there to get you. There's nobody out there to get you. You see, that's moving yourself out of the way. If you think you're that important that people are out to get you, that's your bloated nothingness. There's no one. They have their own business to tend to. You know, oh, I think he's doing this, and I think I can assure you he's not. He's too busy doing other things to think about you. You're not that important. Does that help?
Yeah, I wanted to say, if that guy you're talking about, he went through his callback, if he would have came out and said, I know I got that job.
Yes.
Now, would that have been his ego talking? Get himself into, or how would that
work? How would you know that? You have to have what we have, the self-confidence. You have to know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. When you do that, you have to immediately say, yes, that job is mine. Yes. And have no doubt about it. You see. That's how you do it.
Okay.
But we allow doubt to worm its way in and erode the whole thing. And then our mind immediately comes up with an excuse why you didn't get it. I never get this. Oh, they like the other person better. Oh, this happened, that happened. Now, when you don't get those things, You have to know there's something better coming along. Why do you have to know there's something always better coming along? That sounds like one of those little loopholes in metaphysics, which I hate the loopholes in metaphysics that people use. Do you have an answer?
If you know that you're worthy, you know that you're worthy for something that's coming along somewhere.
Right. You have to know that, yes. But the main thing you have to know is you live in an abundant universe. So that's not the only thing out there. More has to be coming for you. You're always moving from your good to your greater good. You're always moving from glory to greater glory. But people say, oh, that's the only commercial in the world. I didn't get that one. That's not the only commercial. You have to say, oh, I live in an abundant universe. I didn't get that one. But a bigger one and a better one is coming for me. Why? Because I am one with this thing called God. I am one with the source and the supply of everything. And you have to keep convincing yourself of that till you change your own mind. Now, here again, people think that God is going to and change your mind. God is not going to do that. God gave you a mind to be able to use. Now you have to flick the right switches to make that mind work for you. You see? But we get in our own way. Why? Because we allow the mind to tell us it is us. You see? And you are not your mind. Every day you have to remind yourself that I am not my mind. My mind is mine to use. But you are not your mind.
So, Dallas, if something better doesn't come along, then you're not using your mind correctly. Is that right?
Well, something better is always going to come along. But if you're not recognizing it, yes, then you're not using your mind correctly. We, in religious science, we say change your mind, change your life, or learn to think rightly. That means from a right out view. The out view that you want to look at is, I am connected with God. I live in an abundant universe. Abundance is always coming to me because it's everywhere around me. If I'm not seeing abundance, then it's my mind that's doing it because you see with the mind, not the eye. So you have to sit yourself down and reaffirm, I live in an abundant universe. And because I didn't get this, it means something bigger and better is on its way to me. And then you get excited about that. And don't let your mind keep taking you back to, oh, I missed that opportunity. Oh, I missed that opportunity. Oh, I missed that opportunity. You know, we do that in relationships. Women, I know, do that. They say, oh, that's the only man, you know. If I lose him, no more. Somebody told me years ago, men are like buses. There's always another one coming along. You have to know there's always something coming along. There's always more, and then you get involved in that. But you have to watch your mind, because now it wants to make you get in the pity pot. It wants to tell you, oh, look, you must be bad. You must have not done this correctly. All the treatment didn't work. All this, that, and the other thing. Now your mind is taking over and trying to convince you, you see, and you have to say, shut up, I know my treatment worked. And I know that abundance is everywhere present, and I deserve that abundance, you see. And why? Because you're connected with this thing called God. There's only one life, and that's the life of God. And that's why we are able to say, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. You cannot ever imagine God being poor. So why would you be poor? Because you're not connected to that power. You think you're not connected. You're looking at an illusion. To think rightly means to think of God all the time. Does that help anyone?
Yes. What is it that you say, I may be broke, but I'm never poor? What was your...
Well, that was Mike Todd who said that. I always
heard that. That was true.
I always say money is always freely circulating in my life, and I always have a divine surplus. And I always go to the truth. That is the truth. The fact may be there being no money in my bank account. That is only a fact. And it can change overnight. I could have a rich relative who dies and gives me a fortune overnight. I could win the lottery. I could get this, that, and the other thing. Those are the things you have to remember. So you always stay in truth. And knowingly, I call it a reversal of fortune. That your fortune can reverse itself overnight. All this stuff can be done in the winking of an eye. All of it can be done. But we allow ourselves to go in and live in the facts. You must live in the truth. I talked about treatment work. After you do a treatment, then you must live in that treatment. You don't make a treatment, I am wealthy, I am rich, I am this, I am that, money is always free, da, 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 and then say, oh, I don't have any money. Oh, I can't go out, I can't do this, I can't do that. Now you're living in the fact again. You're saying, you have to live in the truth of the thing. There's always something you can do. I love flowers, I can't always buy a $50 flower arrangement. But I can always come up with enough money to buy one stem. To buy one stem. I don't give up things when there's appearance of lack. So I don't give up things when there's appearance of lack. My lifestyle never changes. My lifestyle never changes. It always remains the same. The money may change, but my lifestyle always remains rich and opulent. And lo and behold, the flow starts again. If you fall for that, for the fact, you will stay there. Does this make sense to you? Once you do an affirmation, once you do a treatment, then you must live in that treatment and you must live in that affirmation. You say, you don't wait for the affirmation and you don't wait for the treatment to work. You live in it. Everything is instantaneous. You say, we have this word wait. There's no such thing in the mind of God as wait. Everything is instant. Everything is done. That's what we say when we do something. It's all done in mind. Your richness, your successes are already done. You must learn to live in them. You're waiting to see them. Or you'll wait the rest of your life if you're waiting to see them. You see? Take that out of the equation. The wait. And know as soon as you've done a treatment, it's done and start living that way. Now that does not mean, which many people get crazy here and rush out and start using their credit cards and writing checks galore and saying, oh, money's just pouring out of the rooftops. That is not what this is about. This is not a get-rich-quick scheme. But you will get rich. But you will get rich with it. But you have to maintain that level of consciousness once you do a treatment. Then you maintain that. That's how you start to know that you're one with this thing that we call God. But if you're waiting to see that, it won't happen. Does that make sense to you? Yeah. So you start to do things. You start to remember, start to love yourself. What does that mean, start to love? Well, then start to nurture yourself. Start to take a bubble bath. Start to sit and have a good glass of wine. Whatever. And start to savor it. And start to feel, oh, I am. You see. But you don't wait for it. You start immediately. You must live in that consciousness. Help you? It's all done with conscious. It's all done with mind. But you don't move. Most people don't move into the mind that they've just created. They stay outside of that. Okay? Anytime if I babble and I'm not clear, please, I'll make it absolutely as clear as possible. I absolutely believe in that. I do not believe in this mumbo jumbo stuff that people do and take your money and everything and you don't get anything from it. Yeah. This can be very ethereal. It can be very intellectual. It can be all these things. But if you're not getting something from it, it's not doing you a damn bit of good, you see. And this teaching is to make sure that you're getting something. Okay. Any more questions?
When you say at the bottom, when you release it, what does that mean?
You release it into mind afterwards, and you're no longer responsible for that. That is running. When you put the letter in the mailbox, you let that go. And you know that it's going to arrive at the right address. You don't think. You don't reach in and thing. You don't run to the next town to see if it got there. You see, you release that. So when you do a treatment, you release it into the mind of God, knowing that that mind immediately picks up and does something with it. You release it. That helps you.
Yeah, well, I have a funny mail story just on the side here. Because I love the mail, and I totally trust the mail. Absolutely. But twice in the past few months, I had letters returned to me, actually cards, and it didn't say why. The address was correct, but they came back to me like 2 or 3 weeks later. Why?
Oh, well, we could go.
I just don't know why. You know, I gave my parents a Christmas card, and I kept saying, did you get the card? Did you get the card? And they had gotten all their other cards, and they didn't get this card. I'm like, And I got it back, like,
How much resentment did you have when you made that Christmas card?
Oh, unbelievable. No, not at all. I loved it. I was excited that they would get it. It's just a curious thing that it happened twice. I do believe in the mail. I love the mail.
But when you have to, when these things happen, like he just said, you can go on through the whys, and we can put it into this whole big thing, and we can say, well, were you resentful? Were you this? Were you that? The main thing to do is, I take full responsibility for that. I caused that. And then redeposit the mail.
And then what?
Redeposit the mail. Put it back in the mailbox. Your mind wants to keep you onto the whys. If you ask the question why, your mind will spit it out from now to eternity. Why? Down to the point that you were a very bad boy, that you peed in the alley when you were 12, that you did this, that you did that. You know, it'll just spit out things. The mind loves the question why, and it'll keep it going. How many people have asked why something's happened to them for the last 10 years? Have you ever gotten the answer? No, you may never ask. In this teaching, we never ask why. We ask how. How? How can I overcome this? How can I fix this? How can I take responsibility for this so that it never happens to me again? But we never ask why. Why questions are talk therapy. And they can go on for 20 or 40 years. So don't ask that. Ask how. But always take responsibility for anything that comes into your life. Anything that comes into your life, say, I caused that. Remember when I tell you, anything good that happens within 100 miles of me, I take credit for it. I take credit for it. I caused that. Thank you. That's what you have to do. Question. Do you have a question? No, yes, Thomas.
It's more like a question. Let me make a statement, then I'll just ask you to expound upon it. The universe is a hologram. The material world is an illusion. Although we, as physical beings, are moving in a physical world, this is an illusion. Can you expound upon that?
Well, yes. Of course I can. Well, first of all, it is a hologram. We do live in a holographic universe, because what's known in one spot of mind must be known in all spots of mind. So if you have one little piece of information, it has to be circulated throughout the entire thing. Therefore, that's a hologram. Does everyone know what a hologram is? A hologram is, if you take a piece of paper, and could you hand me that piece of paper? This piece of paper, and I tear this corner off. Now all the information's on that is now on this. And if I take, now I have all the information on this and I take that. Now all the information that's on this, that, and this is now on this. It's a hologram. It's a hologram. Does that help you? See, it's a matrix. It's a hologram. Now, the next one was, why is it an illusion?
Us being physical beings, moving in a material world is actually an illusion.
Well, yes, because we truly are spirit, or we're spiritual beings. We're spiritual beings having a human experience. And that's where people get into trouble, because they want to be human beings having a spiritual experience. But you have to be a spirit having a human experience. And we decided to come here because we wanted to check out what this is like. You know, when you're floating around for eternity, every once in a while, you say to yourself, geez, I'd like to see what it was like to be heavy. And we get heavy. And we come to this plane of action. And we take on physical bodies. So that we can experience this type of living. And then when we're experiencing this type of living, we are loving ourselves back to center. Meaning, now we must remember where we came from. And you see, the illusion is that we fall asleep. And when we're asleep, we forget where we came from. So most people, not all awakening, when we say that person is awakened, that person is enlightened, means that that person woke up from the dream that they're dreaming. We're all dreaming a dream, and we're dreaming a collective dream called this Earth. And we've all bought into it. It's a wonderful experience, by the way. But here again, it's an illusion. You can make any illusion you want. And if you make an illusion that this isn't a wonderful experience, then it's not a wonderful experience for you. But that's the wonderful thing about choice. And that is what we have, is choice. And we choose how we want to experience this part of eternity. That's all we're doing. That's all we're doing. And then we will transform ourselves and just keep going throughout eternity. Does that help you at all? Yeah. But we just took on heavy bodies. See, the Earth is heavy. And so we become heavy. We have slowed down our vibration to where it has become heavy, and we can see each other. See, but we're really light beings. Remember, all we are is little points of light called photons. We're little points of photons and points of information. And we put it all together and we say, oops, here I am, Dallas. And I maintain that illusion. That's all. Help.
Can
you say transform ourselves, are you talking about an afterlife?
Oh, I'm talking about an afterlife after an afterlife after an afterlife after an after afterlife.
A forever life.
A forever
in
life.
Spirit.
There is no beginning. There is no end. There's only eternity, you're saying. And we will come through. The illusion that we talk about on this plane of action is the illusion of death. We assume that people die. And we say they're gone. Oh, there's no place to go. You know, no one's gone. You left this body behind, that's all. The body wore out. And you decided it wasn't fun anymore here. So you leave. But you continue. And then as you're floating around, you may decide, oh, I think I'll go back and try that over again. I didn't learn enough. So you reincarnate again on this planet. Or you continue to travel. You see, this whole thing is much bigger. That's why I'm feeling like, oh, I know. Oh, please. What would you know? Nothing. It just keeps going. And that's the illusion of death is one of the biggest lies. That this planet tells. One of the biggest lies that most religious organizations tell. There's no such thing as death. There's a transformation. Once you realize that, you can give up that fear and all that kind of stuff and start living and getting excited about a new journey. Getting excited about a new journey. I had a friend call me last night. She's in Washington. She's 84 years old. She went home to Washington. She lives in Glendale. Because her son, who's 50-something or other, is dying of leukemia. And she's a metaphysician. And she knows some of the reasons and some. But she said to him, you know, Christopher, any way you look at it, if you decide to live, or if you decide to die, you win. You win. Because you're on to a new adventure, you're on to a new life. You see, quite hard for a mother to say to her son, isn't it? Because we're taught that mothers are not supposed to say things like that, and that children are always supposed to outlive their parents. That's another illusion. It's another thing that we're living under. It's another limitation that's been put upon us. So that we can carry that around and think about that.
There are other options other than death.
Yes, there are.
Transitions on to outer worlds.
Everything's a choice.
And whatnot. So yes. There are them. What did you mean when you said you're no Christopher?
Oh, the son. The son's name was Christopher.
Okay.
Yeah. And she said to Christopher, okay, in any case, you'll win. Regardless of what happens to you, whatever you choose, you'll win. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But that's one of the biggest fears that most people have, this fear of death. They think, oh my, it's all over. But it can't be all over. Energy can neither be created nor destroyed. You learned that in high school, for goodness sakes. Aren't you energy? So, can't be. Look at stars, don't stars? They say now we look up in the sky and that star is no longer there. But the light from that star continues, doesn't it? Some of the light that's reaching this planet, Earth, the star died millions of years ago. But the light is just now getting here. Now when the light gets here, do you think it stops? No, it goes right through and keeps right on going. Energy can neither be created nor destroyed. It always went. You just keep on going. You're photons of light, people. You're photons of light. The illusion is that you have a body. The illusion is that you're flesh and blood and all those things. Yes, you can prove that that's true, but you're much more than that. And there's where you always have to go to. But you're much more than that. If you want to heal yourself, you have to know that you're much more than blood and guts and all that. Otherwise, the doctor will tell you, well, you're on your way out. And in his illusion, that's true. You say. But that doesn't have to be your illusion. You have to say, I'm much more than that. Well, you don't understand. Your blood's not running correctly. It has nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. Better ask another question because I get off into these.
Now, so you can help me. It took me a long time to get to this point. Finally, I'm at this point. But when I see less fortunate people than I, whether it be in a physical state or a monetary state, I now can say, you know what, that's their journey. It's not mine. And for a long time, I always felt guilty about that. And now I'm afraid sometimes that I might be a little cold in thinking that way. You know, I feel better. I feel that I don't have to carry all their burdens with me. You know, that I can say that is their journey. It's not my journey.
You can say it's their journey, and it's not your journey. And you can decide to give them some help if you want to give them help.
Yeah.
But to be helping all the people that are out there, you're only keeping that industry going. And what do I mean by that? If you go to India, there are that many poor people in India. And the rich people in India walk right past them, right over them, and never touch them. Why? Because if you feed into it, they have children that they absolutely scar, mutilate, and put on the street because it's a way to get money. Because it's a way to get money. Now, if you participate in that, you're causing the industry to continue. You see. Now, they do all that stuff to pluck your heartstrings. Because most of us grew up in some brand-named religion that tells us that we must have our heart out and do all this stuff. If you don't feel like giving to somebody, do not give to them. Giving anything out of resentment or out of duty doesn't help with the thing. But you have to look at this, and you have to realize what Jesus said, the poor will always be among us. Why will the poor always be among us? That does not mean poor of money. That means poor of consciousness. And those people are poor because of their poor consciousnesses. They do not know that they're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that they matter. This is what you must teach people. If you want to raise somebody up, you must teach them that they're whole, complete, and perfect, that they're one with this thing called God. Not say, here's $5, go have a drink. See? It's looking at things differently. You, and I'll use this word because it happens to us all, have been brainwashed. You see? You have been brainwashed. And I'm not saying to be callous. You see, there's a difference. You must always have compassion. Always have compassion. But that does not mean that you buy into all that stuff. You see?
Yeah.
Does that help you?
Yeah, because I guess I tend to feel sometimes I get a little... Am I getting too callous? You know, yet I have great compassion. I'm thinking, if I don't give everybody that crosses my way, I'm going into the supermarket, I don't give them a dollar, you know, or something.
But, you see, if you have compassion, you will never get calloused. Won't happen. Don't let your mind do that to you.
That's exactly
so. That's a little trick the mind loves to play on you. Don't let it play that trick. Have compassion for those people. but teach them who they are. And when you see somebody begging, don't see a beggar. See a successful person. If you keep seeing a beggar, they will remain a beggar. You're the one that's creating the reality. See, that's the illusion. Questions? Tom, you have a question? No. How about our new young lady here?
I guess the word asked was how you said to not say I know. So how would you replace that?
How would I replace that? Oh, how would I replace? Well, I just usually don't say that kind of thing. I know this is right or I know that. I just don't do it. You say.
You but
just
you say it in affirmations.
Oh, in affirmations?
Yes.
If I were doing an affirmation, I would say, I know absolutely nothing, but I know that there's a power within me that knows everything and is doing everything for me right here and right now. And I move myself out of the way and allow that power to operate in, as, and through me. So you have to realize that this thing called God is operating in, as, and through you all the time, but it cannot do that while your ego is in the way. It cannot do that. I always say God is so polite to say that God doesn't do those things. But as soon as you're willing, as soon as you ask, this power will come through you. Yes. It'll work for you. We just like to think we know everything. It makes us feel good, doesn't it? But we don't know anything. When you really realize that you know very little, you say, look at medicine. They think they know it all. They know nothing. They barely scratch the surface of anything. We go into space, we say, oh, look, we know space. We don't know space. We can't even see the end, which there is no end, but we don't see all that stuff. There's so many things that we don't know. How many times did they say, ah, we know every living thing that's on this planet. And then a month later, they say, oh, we were just on this island, we discovered a new life form. We've never seen this animal before. Oh, well, you know, the ocean. We know all the fish in the ocean. Then they go a little deeper and they discover, oh, my goodness, look, here's a fish down here we've never seen before.
What I like is when they find the one that they know has been extinct for 400 years.
Yes, yes. And then they find it. You see, we always say, we always do that to ourselves. We say, oh, yes, we know. We have it all labeled. We have everything marked out. And then go, oh. I know they thought no organism could live in the bubbling, boiling water that comes up through the cracks in the ocean from the volcanoes. And now they get down there and they say, oh my goodness, look, there's living organisms in 4,000 degree temperature. How can that be? We didn't know that could happen. There's always going to be more. It's bigger than we are. And you just have to accept that. That's the wonderful thing about it. Why is that so important to know? That is so important to know, people, because you cannot make the statement, all things are possible with God, and then say, I know everything. If you think you know everything, you've cut out all the possibilities. Then you're not getting what you want, because you know everything. As soon as you say, I don't know how to do that, I have to say that all day long. I have no idea how to do that. But I know you do, so you show me how to do it. You know, and I'll even give you credit. And here's the most amazing thing. God doesn't care about credit. You know, you don't have to give God credit for it. If you want to say, oh yeah, I discovered that, go ahead. God's not going to take it away from you and say, oh, naughty boy. No. But you have to realize that you don't know. As soon as you realize you don't know, you've opened your mind to knowing something. You say, I don't know God. I know bits and pieces of God. But I'm open to know more and more all the time. If you get into any closed system, how are you going to think your way out of it? And that's what we do to ourselves constantly. We put ourselves into boxes. We limit ourselves all the time, and then we try to think out of that box. We can't think out of the box. You have to get a new box, a new way of thinking. A new way of thinking. What did Albert Einstein say? I'll paraphrase. The solution cannot be made with the same mind that made the problem. Can't be. You have to find a new way of thinking. You see, and that's what we do. We have a problem when we're using the mind that caused the problem for the answer. Well, it's not going to give you the answer. Christ, it only knows the problem. It only knows the problem. So you have to say, I don't know, but I know that you know. And then believe that. Then believe that. All things are possible. But if you think you know, then they're not possible. Make sense?
Yeah.
More questions? We can stay here till midnight. There are no more questions. I'll read one of my little cards. Empty your soul of its history. Retain love, wisdom, goodness, truth. As all these energies carry within them the people you love and the memories that make you who you are. Shed everything that leads nowhere. And everything that continually repeats itself, but serves nothing at all. And then prepare to receive God.
You have that made up for us.
I'll have this made up. In the month of April, we're going to talk about this. Is going to be one of the main things. The theme in April is going to be becoming more. We have to become more if we want to get more from life. You see. And one of the main things that we do here, empty your soul of its history. You have to empty your soul, your mind, your whole being of this thing called history. Because why? We have this great big affirmation is going on in race mind constantly, which says what? History repeats itself. How are you going to get out of that idea that history repeats itself when you're constantly told that and then you turn around and prove it all the time? Our young lady isn't here who knows what God does. Does anyone remember what God does? God makes all things new. God does not use history. So we're going to do that all during April and learn to become bigger than we really are so that we can move our lives in the direction that we want to move in. And it requires becoming more, becoming bigger, getting rid of this illusion that you're living in. And seeing yourself differently. All that's required. But you're stuck in your history. Because someone told you this is who you are. Usually some loving parent. Or some teacher or something. And you got stuck in that. And you cannot release that. Excuse me. And you must release that idea. You must release that idea. And a good way to do that is to remember this. When Jesus was, I think, 12 years old, he was in the temple talking to the Pharisees. And his parents didn't know where he was. In fact, I think they started home without him. How that could have happened, I don't know. Big family. But they came back to the temple to find him, and they came in and they said, somebody came in and said, Jesus, your mother and father are out here. And he said, who calls themselves my mother and father? Who calls themselves my mother and father? What does that mean? We have earthly parents. And we call them mother and father. And they are lovely people. And you must always honor the blood from which you came. But you have to remember that you're much more than your parents. That you picked your parents. That you came here through them. You had to use them as a channel to get here. That does not mean you throw them out and stuff. What it means is, you have to learn to think past what your history with your parents were, what they did to you, what they told you. If you think that they molded you, they did mold you into something. But now it's time to mold yourself into what you want. That is not dishonoring them at all. That is not dishonoring them. But if you're stuck in that history that they told you, you'll never make anything out of yourself. If you're stuck in that history, you never have done anything right. Any history that you're stuck in, you have to let go. You have to love those people, bless those people, and release those people. That doesn't mean you never talk to them. That doesn't mean that. It means you disconnect from them emotionally. You have to disconnect. Otherwise, you'll never grow into your own being. And how many times do you hear this, if you think I'm spouting off something, how many times do we hear some woman say, I'm turning into my mother? You're not your mother. You're not your mother. You have to be your own being. You have to be your own being. And take responsibility for your life. And not say, they caused me to be this way. You must release that history. Once you release that history, it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.